It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas with Steve Cofield and Adam Hill. Weekdays at 3.
Carr going to throw a bomb. Deep for the post there for Johnny. Holds in. Caught! Touchdown! Raiders! Derek now going to go under center. They stack the receivers. Cooper behind Roberts right. Crabtree left. They give it to Lynch coming straight ahead. Breaks a tackle. First down. Lynch into the end zone. Touchdown! Raiders! Beast mode. Breaks the tackle in the middle of the front and speeds into the end zone for a Raider touchdown.
As always, great job by Greg Papa on the call Raiders Radio Network. Steve, Adam, Chrissy hanging out on this Tuesday. Always catch up on the Raiders on Tuesdays and Fridays. And Matt Schneidman has been nice enough to handle his business with us. Reliable guy. We appreciate it. What's up, Matt?
How you doing?
We are good. We are good. We will get to the elephant in the room right out of the gates, which I think may be a mouse. The Miko Grimes stuff. Have you had a chance to follow up on, again, the story that the offensive line of the Raiders in the Redskins game let Derek Carr get his ass kicked because there were problems in the locker room over the anthem protest?
I think it's baloney. I mean, you've seen some of the players come out on Twitter, and even if none of them did, I think, well, why would an offensive line, A, purposely get their quarterback hurt, B, then it would lose them the game, and, you know, it looks bad on them individually, or they suffer individually from it. I think that, I don't know her personally, obviously. I have been following it, but I tweeted out a Donald Penn quote this morning from after the Chiefs game when Marcus Peters had the late hit on Derek Carr, and Penn basically said, with an expletive, "I saw my quarterback get hit late, and I don't stand for that." Like, I think this offensive line has Derek Carr's back, and multiple people have come out and said on Twitter, whether it be Donald Penn himself or Jalen Richard came out and said something, or DeAndre Washington had a tweet. Derek Carr had a nice subtweet today of a Bible verse. I think these players have their quarterbacks back. And regardless of what happened in that locker room before the Washington game, regardless of what Derek Carr said, I don't think any of us really know what did happen in that room, whether Carr wanted them to stand or not, whether he disagreed with their decision to sit, since they're the only all-black offensive line in the league. People are doing a lot of speculating as to what that meant, and obviously Carr stood. But bottom line, I think that, listen, the offensive line hasn't been great this year. I think that's also something. I know the Washington game was probably their worst game, but the offensive line, that's not like an outlier. People may have a right to speculate if, you know, Derek Carr got sacked four times in that game and then none other this season. But the offensive line hasn't been nearly as good as it was last season, so it's not an outlier. I think people just like to put the pieces together for a little bit of speculation.
In your mind, where is this coming from? Because, I tend to agree with your points on it, but at the same time, like, we heard about this right after the game, and then it picked up a little bit in the next couple of days, and obviously it's been, it's been bounced back into the spotlight because of what Miko Grimes said, but wherever she heard it from, this is something that is out there. So in your, senses or people you've talked to, like, where did it originate from?
So Miko Grimes, I believe, has a radio show, and a couple weeks back around the time of the Washington game, I don't know the exact name of the person, but it's a Raiders fan account, or Raiders fan, quote-unquote, on Twitter, and he was on Miko Grimes' radio show, I believe.
Okay.
And he claimed to have knowledge that the Raiders' offensive line kind of stood aside to let Carr get tackled, and then Miko obviously went on Breakfast Club this morning and brought it back up, and I believe I just watched the clip once this morning. She said people inside that locker room or I know what's going on inside that locker room, so I don't know who she cited now. She was saying, obviously the rumors didn't come from her directly, but it didn't seem like she had a reliable source at all from where they did come from. I don't know what her agenda is and why she's bringing this up now, but it just seems a little bit unfounded. I know the rumor is floating around out there, but I don't think it's from anyone reliable, at least.
talking Raiders, Matt Schneidman, Barry, a news group as they get ready for a game in Mexico City against the Patriots, coming off a big win on the road at the Dolphins. Last thing on this, there was another interesting point in what she said, and that was calling him a Bible thumper. And then there were tweets saying, yeah, he's pretty religious. Is that actually an issue? Does he get along well with the rest of the squad? Are there people in that locker room who are like, all right, enough of the Bible, bro?
No, I think people appreciate that and respect it. I saw a tweet from Antonio Hamilton, who is on injured reserve. He was a cornerback who played on special teams mostly. He put out a little bit of a statement, I guess you could call it, saying the only true part of what Miko Grund said was that he is a Bible thumper. And Antonio Hamilton basically said, we love that he's faithful. But, I mean, there are a lot of guys in that locker room and a lot of guys in football who rely heavily on faith. And Derek Carr is the foremost of those guys. And his teammates like that. His teammates like how religious and faith-based he is. And Hamilton came out and said that in his tweet. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. I would say if there were issues, they would arise from Carr not wanting his offensive line to sit, but I don't think that even happened. Someone came out, I think there was an ESPN report today who cited a Raiders offensive player, and that player said something along the lines of, you know, Derek told everyone that he was going to respect whatever decision they made, stand, sit, kneel, whatever, so there's nothing more to it, and I trust that. I don't think his faith-based attitude would get in the way of anything.
So what's the story coming out of the Dolphins game? Is it the improvement on offense or still a lot of concerns on defense where they bend, you know, don't break, but also gave up a lot of yards against the, by the numbers, the league's worst offense?
Oh, yeah, I think the story, well, it's nice. It's a nice feel-good moment for the Raiders because they won and they saved their season heading into the bye. The story is how they gave up 34 of 42 completions, 311 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks to a quarterback who was playing with 2 broken ribs. And it's not like it's a Tom Brady playing with 2 broken ribs. It's a Jay Cutler playing with 2 broken ribs. Right. This is a guy who's the quarterback, like you said, of the worst offense in the National Football League and a putrid passing offense. This secondary, the Raiders' secondary, is just awful. Like, if this happens against Jay Cutler, the Raiders might not want to get on the plane to go down to Mexico to play against the best quarterback who's ever played this game. It's going to be ugly. It's not just injuries, it's poor performance. I mean, you did get a little bit better of a showing from Sean Smith on Sunday, but guys like Dexter McDonald, TJ Carey played well, but guys like Dexter McDonald, Reggie Nelson, Carl Joseph was all right, but, you know, David Amerson, Gary and Conley, sometimes reliable cornerbacks, they've been injured. So it's a combination of just poor play and being banged up that has really doomed the secondary this year. And there doesn't seem to be a guy that can just come in and be a quick fix. It always seems like someone new. One week Sean Smith's playing poorly, another week it's Dexter McDonald, then it's Reggie Nelson, then it's Amerson. I mean, there's not one guy who's been ultra consistent. I guess you could say TJ Carey has been the most consistent, maybe Carl Joseph, but not even those guys are really standing out making great plays. I mean, obviously they don't have an interception yet. They're going to be going into the Patriots game 10 weeks without an interception. That's never happened in NFL history. I know interceptions aren't the be-all end-all of a secondary success, but this team's pass defense has been terrible, and I don't see any reason for optimism as to why it gets better.
What's the travel plan for Mexico City? How early do they get moving on this whole thing?
They go down Saturday. I'm not sure, not this Saturday, obviously, on the bye week, but the Saturday after that. It's a little strange why. I was going to look into that this week. We have some availability. We didn't have any today because of the bye week, but the next 2 days we'll be over at the practice facility. It's strange because normally when they make longer road trips like that to Washington, to Florida, to Buffalo, they go in on Friday afternoon, but they're going in on Saturday down to Mexico, one night sleeping down there in Mexico, and then a quick trip back up here. And it's not even games in Mexico, but it's not a primetime game. It's a regular 1:05 Sunday afternoon game.
Wow.
So it should be a quick in, quick out. It's not like they get in on Saturday, they play on Sunday night or a Monday night game like they had last year against the Texans. It's a quick in, quick out.
That surprise you, Adam?
Yeah, for several reasons. I mean, I would imagine maybe they don't want them breathing there for very long. But at the same time, you want
to I almost think on the opposite side, you'd want him acclimated to the altitude and the crappy air.
Yeah. It's an interesting.
But they've been there, like you said, Matt, they've been there before, so you assume they know the ropes.
Mm-hmm. It is tough. The altitude is tough. I don't know if it's because of a safety concern. They want the guys in Mexico for the shortest amount of time, or whether it be the air quality or the water quality or whatever. I don't know if the fact that it's Mexico has anything to do with why they're on a shorter trip. We'll find. Obviously, this isn't, you know, a first time thing that they're doing this. They did it last year too when they played the Texans down there. But it's definitely interesting. I don't know if there's much to it, but it's something that caught my eye.
How healthy do you think Carr looks right now?
It's interesting because people are trying to find reasons for why he hasn't been quote unquote himself, or why he hasn't been the 2016 Derek Carr. It'd be hard to believe that the back is not preventing him from being 100%. I mean, he had three transverse process fractures. One transverse process fracture normally takes 2 to 6 weeks to heal. I don't want to say he rushed back, but there are other quarterbacks who have come back, you know, after only missing one game. So he injured, let's see, week four. If he misses 6 weeks, he would be back the Patriots game. That would have been his first game back. That would have been the full timetable for his healing. And that's just for one. That's for one transverse process fracture. So nobody's going to say it within the organization. And I think the only doctor that can really be trusted with a dead set opinion is the team doctor, because that's the one who's caring for Carr, and he's not going to say, oh yeah, Derek's been hampered by injury. Derek has insisted, Del Rio has insisted, Todd Downing has insisted that Carr is 100% healthy and the back is not a lingering issue, but you see sometimes he seems a little hesitant to throw downfield. It makes you wonder whether that back, if it still aches a little bit because of the severity of the injury, and if some of those fractures are preventing him from really airing it out sometimes.
Hey, Matt, last thing, we're talking to Matt Schneidman, who covers the Raiders for the San Jose Mercury News, the Bay Area News Group. Is there going to be a crew of Raider beat writers in town for the groundbreaking for the Vegas Stadium? I think it's next Monday. Is that news in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I think I know we haven't discussed it because I don't believe we have gotten an official quote-unquote invite to it as a media. I actually didn't know the exact date of it because that press release hasn't been sent out to us yet. But I know the Review Journal guys will be out there. I'd assume since it's a bye week, and I know we'll have a Del Rio media availability, but my company, personally, we haven't discussed sending someone out there yet, but it's certainly a possibility. It's interesting because I do think it's bigger news in the Vegas area than it is around here. That doesn't seem to be much of a buzz around here, especially, I think, because it's still, you know, 2-3 years away from
right.
it happening.
Right.
I think the groundbreaking is something maybe Raider fans are trying to put to the back of their mind because they don't want to face that their team is leaving just yet, and they'll deal with that a couple of years down the road. But it's interesting, and who knows? I may be there. I might see you guys in town. But, yeah, I haven't gotten the sense that it's generated too much buzz around here, if I'm being quite honest.
Good excuse for a quickie Sunday-Monday trip to Vegas. You got to do it.
Hey. There's never anything wrong with that.
Exactly.
How great was that press box food in Buffalo, by the way?
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. That's easily the best press box food I've had in my 6 years covering sports anywhere. Full three-course meal before the game, at halftime, after the game. Unbelievable.
It was free?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did they charge at the Coliseum?
They don't charge at the Coliseum. But
how is it? What do you get? What's the normal fare that the media gets during Oakland games?
I've only used it twice for the, what is it, four home games they've had now.
Right.
But one of them was a 1 o'clock game, and they had a little brunch set up there. The other was a little bit of a sausage chicken. That's just before the game, and then at halftime you get popcorn, a hot dog, a little lunch
wow.
bag, like what you would take to a middle school or high school lunch. So it's good. But Buffalo's the first place I've seen that has a full spread after the game, too.
I guess they have to bribe media to come to Buffalo and not write bad things about Buffalo.
That's true.
Is
hey, I lived and worked in Buffalo for 3 months this summer. And you definitely have to bribe people to go do anything in that city.
There you go. All right, Matt, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.